We've got cast reactions to the Big Brother 23 cast with Taryn Armstrong coming your way here today. I'm so excited about the Big Brother season. It's finally back. It's also the start of a brand new month, which makes this right now here at the start of July the best time of the whole year to become a patron of Rob as a Podcast, because you can try it out for this entire month and you can cancel anytime. This Big Brother season, we are going to start making two exclusive patron-only shows in our patron podcast feed all about Big Brother. And in addition to those shows, we're also doing the weekly Patron 5 for 5 with the First Lady of Podcasting, plus the Survivor Top 40 Countdown feedback shows all in the patron podcast feed. Plus, join the Big Brother discussion going on in our exclusive patron Discord and our patron Facebook groups as well. I'm so pumped up for all the coverage coming this summer, and I hope you'll join us for all of the fun in our patron community over at robhasawebsite.com/Patron. Again, that's robhasawebsite.com/patron. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here are the guys who are ready to react to a Big Brother 23 cast. I am Rob Cesternino, very excited. Happy Big Brother kickoff special here today on a Thursday afternoon, first day of July. We have a Big Brother 23 cast. We have a man here with us to talk about it who is about to kick off a summer-long journey of talking about this cast, not being in it. Here is Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm great, Rob. I'm excited to be here. I did spend the last week or so in sequester, but I decided at the last minute to not.
Stop. Taryn, how did this rumor get started that you were going to be in Big Brother? Where did this come from?
Well, here's the thing. I'm not really somebody that posts a lot on social media.
Yeah.
But not posting on social media was exacerbated by the fact that I moved across the country last minute over the last couple of weeks.
Same.
Hey, right. And so in addition to that, we had, here we go.
Yes.
We had, sorry, my computer. I'm on a laptop right now. I was moving. I wasn't posting on social media. People were like, oh, he claims to have moved and he hasn't posted on social media in a few days. And I was kind of like, have you seen me on social media? So that was pretty much it. People just kind
of... It's got a life of its own. Yeah. Okay. Yes, Taryn and I have flipped coasts for Big Brother 23. Just to keep it fun, expect the unexpected. I'm on the East Coast. Taryn's on the West Coast.
Yeah. We have to make sure we have full coverage of the United States.
Yeah, coast to coast coverage of another season of Big Brother 23 coming up. We have our cast dropped today. We are going to walk through. We don't have a lot. We have some interviews that they gave to Us Magazine, and we have a little bit here and there about this new cast of all new players for Big Brother 23. And then this Wednesday night, 6 days from now, we will see a live move-in coming up on July 7th when these players move into the house. And then we will have live podcast coverage coming right after. We will have our Big Brother 23 draft coming up on Monday night. And then also there will be some, I guess, live feed coverage with Taryn kicking off on 1 week from today, right?
Yeah. I believe that the live feeds are starting night one, premiere night, live move in, and then we'll get night one feeds. So super excited about that. We got night one feeds for All Stars, obviously, last season. But you know, that was a little different. They weren't necessarily meeting each other for the first time. So all new players meeting each other for the first time should be a blast.
Okay. So it should be a lot of fun. Of course, if you want to get your access to Big Brother live feeds, you can always use our link at robhasawebsite.com/live feeds. Taryn, there's been a lot of talk about some potential twists, the idea of teams. What do we know about the game of Big Brother 23?
It's still pretty vague. It will be divided into, I believe, four teams.
Okay.
And they're going to be captains that are going to be picking the teams. There's going to be a wild card competition where each team picks one player to play for some kind of safety. They will get safety, or if they get safety, it will cause something to happen that'll be bad. And again, it's very vague. But it seems like they were like, oh, Big Brother Canada 9 turned out well. Let's try and copy the twist that they did, that they stopped immediately because it wasn't working.
Right. I feel like you have such a long-term view of these things. Big Brother Canada, they did two teams and the players were able to figure their way around it. Do you think that four teams potentially changes that dynamic and it might help with some of the problems we've had on Big Brother over the last couple of years?
It is better. Four teams is definitely better than two. I think Big Brother 9 was cited, which is like, why even bring that up, guys? But Big Brother 11 and Big Brother 14 also had teams of four. And Big Brother 11 is not the most exciting season in the world, depending on who you ask. But Big Brother 14 played out pretty interestingly. The fact that there are four sides essentially can be very interesting, as long as the players aren't smart enough to realize that the teams don't matter at all. Mm-hmm. And just form an inter-team alliance. Which there's usually enough people that are like, nah, it's my team, that it kind of throws a wrench in the plan. And things can be interesting depending on how they go about doing it. Four teams also prevents half the house from being immune any given week, which is huge.
Okay. We also got some word about the theme of the season is this idea of some sort of like Monte Carlo slash Vegas, not the real Vegas of
for
the,
sure.
Yes, for sure. People will have the ability to gamble for potential twists in the house. Do you like this?
I always like it when these shows lean into the fact that they are very luck based. I think that sometimes the fans don't like it because they're like, oh, there was just a flip of a coin or the roll of a dice. But like, that's the reality of the show, regardless of whether it's obvious or not. So I enjoy it. And I think it can lead to some interesting decision making, depending on how they set up the twist. But here's the thing, Rob, in the interviews with Allison and Rich, they talked about some things. It sounds like they've actually heard some of the criticism. Usually they talk and you're like, what world are you in? But they were talking about big alliances, running through the cast. They were talking about, shaking up the competitions a little bit. And it sounded like they had at least heard some of the things that we've been saying. Now, whether or not they're actually going to successfully do anything about them is a whole other thing. But we've gotten the first step, at least it seems.
Yeah, I've been talking to people in different call-in shows and things like that about, do I think Big Brother is going to be any different than past seasons? And the only takeaway I had was that there isn't one person who felt like Big Brother 22 worked, where that I feel like that even like Big Brother 21 had like moments in the back half of the season where I think that you see, some people on the production walk away like, hey, I mean, that was exciting. I mean, that you definitely had like some intrigue in the back half of Big Brother 21. Not one person was happy with Big Brother 22, maybe except for the Calafiore family.
Yeah, and then the Lavassers.
Yeah.
I agree. I think that they weren't very happy with it themselves. I think that they are definitely trying to change things up. I just don't have a lot of faith in them to know how to change it up successfully. But I did say this a lot last season. I do think they got very unlucky with a lot of the comp outcomes last season. I'm not super pessimistic right now in terms of where the game is going to go. One thing that was, Allison Grodner talking about the new diversity in the casting. And she was like, well, we've had diverse casts before. Mm-hmm. It really, like, again, points to, like, I don't think they all,
lots
like,
of even people if they, from different parts of Texas. Sure.
Yeah, exactly. Like, even if they hear the criticisms, that doesn't necessarily mean that they understand them. So yeah. That would be my only word of caution.
Yeah, that's my question as to whether or not this specific creative team can pull off the change that is needed. But they have another shot, and we will see. Of course, 16 new players announced here today that it did turn out to be the diverse cast that we were expecting here that are going to be competing in the house. Any sort of like big picture thoughts on the cast?
Not really. It's a somewhat young cast. The average age is about 26, which is a little bit lower than I think your typical average age cast, which is around 27 or so. You know, we're looking at a fairly younger cast, but the majority, or at least half of the players, are within that 25 to 30 age range. So nothing too dramatic there. It seems like there are a decent amount of fans, of people who know the game. They were probably at least shown season 14 in Sequester, because a lot of them talk about Dan's funeral, and a lot of them also talk about the hitman, Derek. I think they were likely also shown 16, because that's the one they often show, but at least they also showed them 14 potentially. Mm-hmm. But at the very least, it seems like, you know, we're used to this in Big Brother Canada, that there are a lot of fans. Nobody explicitly said that, like, or very few of them explicitly said, hey, I'm a huge fan. I've watched the show all my life. But the way that they've talked about the show in their bios, it does seem like we may be in for one of the more fan-heavy seasons we have seen.
Okay. All right. Anything else big picture?
West.
Yeah. Anything else big picture about Big Brother 23 before we run through the cast?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. We're going to go ahead and we'll bring this up here on CBS.com. We'll go in alphabetical order and give you a chance to see the people as we are talking about them. And why don't we start and talk about Asa?
Asa.
30-year-old director of sales operations from Baltimore, Maryland.
From Baltimore. And so I've tried to note down some connections that I've seen between some of these players. We'll talk about him later, but there is another person on the cast, Derek, his hometown is Baltimore.
Yeah. One thing find out, Big Brother loves Derek's.
It's very much so. Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Got to find the next Derek, they're saying. And then I guess they're working on it this season. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So Asa.
I think that she has the potential to be very popular. I think that there are some very good things that stand out from her her bio. Right away, she says her favorite player is June. So that's a pull. That's season four.
Yeah.
She loved the June and Allison pair. She would love to do something similar. That's great. She can't stand showmances. She loved Keisha's birthday. She wants to annihilate the power players, play for herself, not the house. She's saying all the right things, Rob.
Yeah. Her photo is striking also, that she looks like she's like on a green screen. She's like in a forest.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the forests of Baltimore, Rob.
Yes, the famous Baltimore forest that she's in.
Yeah.
Yeah. The June and Allison, would you call them a duo?
You know, I think you have to, because they were a duo by the end. They were like, you know, one of those love-hate relationships, you know, one of those things.
Frenemies, yeah.
Yeah. More like Allison really came to like June, and June just hid the fact that she hated Allison as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So she definitely seems like that she is a fan. She seems like that she would really understand the game. We had some interesting questions that we asked people. That we got life mottos. You haven't started living until you started living for others. The motto might not serve her best in the game, is what she said.
Yes. And it's a good motto, not a good motto for the game for sure. And I think it it would have raised red flags, but again, she's talking about like she wants to play for herself, not the house. Now, you know, you kind of say those things, but if she really does live like for others, she's a very good, generous person, then those instincts could come to bite her in the house. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
We're fine.
All right. We got fun facts also about the cast members. One fun fact about Asa: her grandfather was a polygamist with 6 wives and 47 children, and she has over 300 cousins. Does this open up a Project DNA type twist?
I hope so. Wouldn't we love to bring that twist back? Was it her grandfather or her father?
Her grandfather.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So it's very, very interesting. It's definitely a massive family there.
Mm-hmm. And then also, it says that she is afraid of manholes. Taryn, I feel like that this is not the first time on one of these CBS reality shows that I feel like that somebody has put afraid of manholes in their bio.
I feel like it's pretty common.
Is that a common fear? Afraid of manholes?
Yeah, I feel like it's a. I feel like I know multiple people that are afraid of manholes.
How does that come up?
You walk over them, and I guess you're afraid that you're going to fall into it, or it's going to break. You know, it's like the ground's going to. I don't know.
I guess so. I mean, how dangerous are the manholes?
I don't know. I mean, I don't imagine many people have been harmed by manholes, but it's just one of those irrational fears, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's get out of this one. But I just feel like somebody else, I feel like definitely had that in their bio, not too long ago. All right. The chat likes the manhole talk. Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. And then she also was an avid traveler. Okay. So.
Yeah. Traveled. She said what, like 5 countries a year or something?
Yeah.
Prior to COVID.
Mm-hmm. All right. So anything else on Asa?
I'm excited. She is 30. I think we mentioned that is like the upper range of that like middle area. It makes her, you know, one of the probably top 5 older house guests at this point, again, in this cast. But I think that age means that she is perfectly capable of fitting in, with the majority of the house. I think that she's in a prime position to do very well if she knows what she's doing.
Okay. All right. Could be a trendy pick in the draft coming up on Monday night. Let's talk about a guy who, with an interesting name, it's Christian Birkenberger.
Yes.
It's like a very like a Swedish chef name, Birkenberger.
Yeah. 23 years old from Connecticut. He's one of the people I had the least in here about. He says he loves Zanky.
Yeah. Okay. So definitely, they showed a lot of BB16.
Yes. He said, so this was I thought this was a little interesting. He's 23. He says, I've only had one girlfriend. And I don't know why that's an interesting fact unless he's assuming that I'm assuming that he would have had more than one girlfriend.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of a flex. Yeah. Then you assume I must have had many girlfriends, but in fact, exactly. I've only had one.
Yeah. my favorite part of his bio is that, so this is interesting. He says his favorite Big Brother moment is when Jeff used his coup d'etat power to backdoor Jessica.
Such a great moment.
Yes. Man, when Jessica got blindsided by that coup d'etat, it was devastating, but it was amazing.
Yeah. Well, what is he talking about, Taryn?
I mean, Jesse, I would imagine, is what he was going for.
Yeah.
But as far as I'm aware, Jesse does not go by Jessica. That is not one of
right.
the names he prefers.
Yeah. Right. Is that a typo?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe it was maybe he was speaking this to an intern and they wrote, you know, he said Jesse and they just put Jessica.
Mm-hmm. maybe that yeah. they were transcribing it. His life motto is sometimes your ice pop falls on a penny.
Yeah.
Is that that's unlucky or lucky?
I don't know. Maybe it's, you know, it's pretty deep, Rob, because you can look at it in different ways. You can say, oh, that's lucky. It fell on a penny. Now you found a penny. Or you can say, oh, that's unlucky. Pennies are really dirty. And now it's extra dirty. And I've got a penny in my ice pop.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was going to hit the ground anyway.
True.
Mm.
But also, you know, is finding a penny really, I feel like if I find a penny, that's, it's almost like if I'm talking about like, is this a good thing or a bad thing? It's almost crossing the line into bad thing because I'm not going to want it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, now I've seen a penny. What do I do? Should I pick it up? I don't want it.
Yeah. Taryn, I feel like that Christian comes to us from the like they have like a file of photos. It's like, all right, Love Island or Big Brother? Love Island or Big Brother? Okay. And he ended up on the Big Brother side.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. He also then has, he could do multiple flips and his pupils are two different sizes. How do we know if our pupils are different sizes?
I guess he measured them, right?
I have no idea if I have pupils that are the same size.
He was looking in the mirror and he was like, hey.
Hmm. Oh,
and then he got out a measuring tape or something. He was just like,
yeah.
Different sizes.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, he loves disc golf, and I'm assuming mini golf, but it says here mini gold here. So maybe a few typos here.
Okay. Well, I'm on the CBS. Which site are you on?
Because I'm on Us Weekly.
Okay. Well, on CBS, it says mini golf.
Oh, okay. So maybe the issue is between CBS and Us Weekly.
Potentially. But on CBS, it does still say Jessica.
Yeah. Okay. So, Taryn, could you use the motto, sometimes your ice pop falls on a penny in a sentence? Like, what would be the way that you would say that that motto?
You know, it sounds like something I would say if something bad happened. If I'd be like, I know you guys were excited about the possibility of me being on Big Brother, but sometimes your ice pop falls on a penny.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. Yeah. Okay. We would save that for when, you know, everybody's waiting for somebody to win the power of veto. And then looks like the ice pop fell on the penny today.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, that's Christian. Anything else on him?
Not really.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see. You don't sound like you're too high on Christian from Connecticut.
I mean, he could impress me in the interviews for sure. There's so little to go off of in his bio that I was just like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Do you think they'll do any video interviews? You think we'll get like them on Zoom anywhere?
I'm sure we'll get something from someone.
Okay.
I don't know if there'll be official CBS interviews, but.
Okay. All right, let's talk about the third person that we'll look at today. Let's talk about Hannah. Okay.
Right.
Let's bring up Hannah, who is 21 years old from Chicago, and she's a graduate student.
Yes, 21 years old, one of the younger players here, if not one of the youngest. She's a big Davon fan. Davon winning America's Favorite was one of her all-time Big Brother moments. But she also really likes Dan cutting Shane in Big Brother 14.
Okay.
Vanessa blindsiding Austin in Big Brother 17. And she talks a lot about wanting to, can't wait to experience the show. That there are all these things that she's been seeing. It sounds like she is a fan of the show and that she's excited to play. Maybe not like the longest term fan, everything that she talks about, you know, Big Brother 14 is probably the oldest thing she talks about.
Mm-hmm.
But it does seem like she is a pretty big fan, excited to experience the show.
Okay. She is somebody who has enjoyed school. She graduated from university 19 years old. So she seems like she's very bright. She's a competitive hip hop dancer. And
take note of that. A lot of dancers on this cast.
Oh, okay. Do you think there could be some sort of dancing competition?
A dancing competition or maybe even a dancing crew alliance. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Do you think that maybe that they'll have the house guests make TikToks, Taryn?
Probably.
Yeah. Okay. She can hold her breath for over 90 seconds.
Is that impressive? I feel like...
I don't know. I don't know. Like, I was thinking about that. I was like, that doesn't sound that long.
It sounds kind of average to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really, no utility in the Big Brother house, though, for that.
No.
Maybe if you're hiding somewhere, you want to, like, not breathe.
Yeah, but then afterwards, you got to breathe even more.
Hmm. So, yeah. Not particularly. If this was Survivor, maybe we would say she has something there. But you know.
The average person can hold their breath for 30 to 90 seconds.
Okay.
So it's in
She's
the average.
She's above average. She's above average. She's right there. Okay.
For generous. Okay.
All right. She says she needs an espresso machine because she's a huge coffee person. It would be wise to stay away from her before she had caffeine for the day. Karen, what's the coffee situation in the Big Brother house? Does one person just make a big pot of coffee for the whole house?
It depends.
It's usually
like somebody will wake up. I don't know what machine they use. I'm not a coffee person myself.
But, yeah.
She might.
Does it seem like one person makes the coffee for the whole house?
I feel like usually like the person that wakes up earliest, they'll wake up, they'll make some coffee, and then, you know, there'll be some coffee there for other people.
Because there's like 16 people in the house. You get a lot of coffee drinkers. That's gonna, multiple pots of coffee will need to be made.
It's probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What about people who need their coffee in the morning? Have you ever seen that be something that is like, oh, this person's not a morning person?
You know, it's not great to not be a morning person. You want to be as much of a, you know, time person as possible, because you never know what's going to be happening, whether it's a morning person or a night person or a day person.
Yeah.
You want to be all of those things. And if you need your coffee before you can interact with people and you got people coming up to you in the middle of the night or the early morning and they're like, oh my God, something's happening. And you're like, shut up, get away from me. I don't care. I need my coffee. Then that's not going to be great.
Yeah, I see in the chat, they say it's a broke-ass cheap machine. So, yeah, sounds about right. And probably crappy coffee, too. Okay.
Now, interestingly, we'll talk about Xavier later. He
hates espresso.
Yes, does not like coffee.
Hates coffee. Okay. All right. Anything else on Hannah?
No, but I'm interested. I'm interested to see her play. She's a younger player here. But she is a fan and she, you know, talks about wanting to play like long-term strategy. I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued. I'm not going to be like super optimistic, but, I'm hopeful for her.
Yeah. She didn't give us a ton to sink into our teeth into in the bio.
Yeah.
Looking for headlines here. All right. Let's talk about, Brent Champagne. Here we go, Taryn. Here's Brent. Yeah. He's from Cranston, Rhode Island.
There you go.
Home of Bryan Cranston?
Maybe. Maybe.
It's a flight attendant. 28 years old.
Yes. Luckily, Champagne can't get you wasted, so... he's not a danger to...
That's
to
what
Darren
the word is. That's what the word is. Yeah.
He's a flight attendant. He's a big Tangela stan.
And you know, how could you not be?
Of course.
Yeah.
he loves the Schadenfreude of like just watching people who get backdoored who like very much deserve it.
Yeah.
He's one of those fans that's like, "Yes, get him."
I think most of the fans.
Oh yeah, I mean it's a very common experience. That's what most people watch it for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and for people, you know, that you want to see that happen to somebody, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's you build up the villain in order to like, because again, he didn't say everyone, just like the people that deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
So
do you think he's going to be the person doing that to somebody or you think he's going to be the person who's getting that done to him?
Well, that's the thing. Usually the people most interested in dishing out justice are the people who get the justice. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that. His motto is, "I'm here for a good time, not a long time." That checks out.
Yeah. He says this really tickled me. He says, "I've been told by many people, many people have told me my charm is powerful.
Powerful charm.
All caps.
Yes.
Powerful charm.
That is a very specific comment to have been told by multiple people.
He strikes me as somebody that like wears too much cologne. You know what I mean? Overpowered cologne.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, he was not somebody who said they wanted to bring their cologne. I believe that was Christian who said he wanted to bring his cologne. Okay. So he must be an athlete. He's talking about he needs his hype music.
Yeah, you got always got to have your hype music. I mean, anybody can have hype music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have hype music to get me ready for podcasts.
You do?
No, but for the purpose of this bit,
okay,
yes.
Okay, okay. You dropped the bit very quickly.
once you asked me to clarify, it felt more like lying.
Yes, okay. So, all right. He is a former D1 AA collegiate athlete. He says he was a former live lottery television host for Rhode Island Lottery. What does that entail? Like he pulls the balls out and says like, all right, tonight's numbers are 17.
Yeah.
31.
Seven.
No, that's bingo.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you could have done bingo too. Maybe like you work your way up the bingo ranks and then like
that's a good audition. Dream. Yeah, they go out and they scout the bingo games for lottery, lottery people.
Someday I'll be on TV reading the lottery numbers.
Yeah, yes. So it's something. It's something. In New York, Yolanda Vega used to be very famous. That it was a big lottery person. Then he makes videos. Have any of his videos been surfacing? Do we know what videos he makes?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Probably for the best if we don't know about them yet. And then he has created a phishing website. Now, Taryn, I go out of my way to avoid any phishing websites that are out there. That's the number one thing they tell you. Watch out for the phishing website. Is this website phishing?
I hope not. I mean, maybe this whole profile is just a fish. Maybe he's not. Maybe he's a catfish.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I don't like this is a person where like I need the video for this. This could go either way.
Yeah, for sure. It's very difficult to tell what the energy is here, I think.
Right. So we'll see. Hopefully we get some video in the coming days about these characters. Okay. Yeah. All right. Then Taryn, let's talk about our next person. Let's talk about Brittany D'Angelo.
Brittany.
Great history 24. Of Big Brother Brittany's.
Yes.
Here she is.
Hopefully she lives up to it. Now, like other Britneys in the past, she seems to be an Ian fan.
Hmm. Okay.
Her favorite Big Brother moment was when Dan evicted Shane, which led to Ian winning the HOH and then winning the game. And at first I was like, oh, she also liked it when Dan evicted Shane. But then it seemed like the part that she really liked was the Ian success part of it. So I think that she's more of an Ian fan. She also was a big fan of Frankie in season 16.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So
shot the reset week was a really good twist.
I don't know. Brittany is from Niagara Falls. She's 24 and she's a kindergarten teacher and she seems to be an athlete. She likes to play Mario Kart and she makes TikToks also.
Well, I mean, who doesn't?
Mm-hmm.
Me. She talked about discipline, integrity, loyalty, respect. I'm very suspicious of those words.
Diller. Is that the acronym for discipline?
Diller, yeah.
Yeah. Well, when you say you're suspect of those, why? What is the red flag that you're seeing?
I mean, we could probably go drill. It would probably be the better.
Yeah. She could go in with say that I'm all about drill. Drill, baby, drill. Discipline, exactly. Respect, integrity, loyalty. That's like a hardcore message for kindergartners.
It is. It is a pretty hardcore message. The thing that worries me about this is that she talks a lot about, again, like loyalty, She says she wants to be authentic in the house. That, you know, it seems as though she is not really the kind of player that's going to go in there and be super devious. And not everyone needs to be. So I'm not like that concerned. It seems like we do have a lot of decent players in here. But these players often just kind of end up being, you know, a soldier in the army of the Alliance, which tends to lead to gameplay that people don't love. So hopefully these concerns are unfounded, but definitely red flags get raised.
Yeah, so you feel like, okay, you hear discipline, integrity, loyalty, respect. You think she's the Christmas in the Alliance.
Exactly.
If anybody breaks the Alliance, that's it.
Where's your discipline? Where's your loyalty?
Yeah. She says, get ready, America. I'm coming in hot.
Well, I thought this was interesting. She says she dances better than she walks. Again, another dancer here. But that she's, I think, like sprained or broken her ankle or something like 16 times, and 15 of those times were from walking.
Yeah. Are we sure this isn't Christmas?
Did she manage to, is the whole marriage thing just a ploy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Christmas and Memphis have gotten engaged.
Yes.
Yes. So, you know, I went on this morning. I saw that somebody had posted a link to, oh, the Big Brother cast is up. And then when I clicked on it, I went to Big Brother 22. And unknowingly, I saw the first picture was Christmas Abbott. I was like, good God. I was like, oh, I got this last year's cast.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
She might be the Christmas. That might be the thing. She talks a lot about the like various awards that she won at school.
Yes. Medal.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
Right. We asked for a fun fact, ma'am, just a fact.
Like, no.
Fun.
I don't know about, maybe this could just be me. I don't want to disrespect anybody that likes school. But when I hear people talk about their schooling and all the things that they did and all the award, I don't care. Just, I don't care. Mm-hmm. Who are you now?
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting, Taryn. I feel like I feel like that you're a very intelligent guy. I feel like that you would be interested in people's schooling. But I mean, I don't care.
Yeah. I just feel like schooling isn't necessarily an indicator of who you are in almost any capacity.
Mm. Okay. All right. So, we don't want to hear about it, Brittany. Okay. Let's talk about somebody who I think is going to give us a little more to get into. Let's talk about Derek Frazier.
A Derek. One of two.
One of two Derek's on the cast. Yes. All right. Derek,
one of two Derek's on the cast. Yeah. And not only are there two Derek's on the cast, they're spelled the same. Mm-hmm. And also pretty much everyone on the cast is a Derek fan. Not one of these Derek's, but Derek Levasseur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, when it comes down to in the house talking about like, oh, he's the Derek, then it'll make things like maybe more confusing. It might help them.
Well, let's add some on top of this. He is a safety officer. I don't really know what that means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Will he tell anybody?
I would assume so. Okay. Safety officer, also known as an occupational health and safety officer.
Okay.
They provide safety management advice, monitoring, reporting in the workplace, and engage staff in programs to ensure safe practice in the workplace. So it sounds pretty different.
Yeah.
Than like a police officer.
Okay. Derek Frazier, he has a famous dad. His dad is a boxer, Smokin' Joe Frazier. This is like shades of Frank Udy being the son of Psycho Sid.
I guess so. I looked up Smokin' Joe Frazier and very impressive record here. Just some highlights. First boxer to beat Muhammad Ali.
Yes.
Undisputed heavyweight champion from 1970 to 1973. Won a gold medal at the 1964 Summer Olympics and listed among the 10 greatest heavyweights of all time.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go. His father is the late, great Smokin' Joe Frazier. And, you know, we'll see if that comes up. Do you think that will help or hurt him if that gets out in the house?
I would say help. If anybody, knows who Smokin' Joe Frazier is, and even if they don't, I think that there's still that little bit of element of like, oh, like starstruckedness of like, oh, your dad is him. Like, that's amazing. That's cool. Let's talk about it. I want to ask questions about it. It's a good in to have.
Hmm. Yeah. So I think so.
And nobody's going to be like, oh, that means that he must be like, an amazing athlete or anything necessarily, right? Like it's not something that is immediately transferred.
He is somebody who seems like he's going to be very fun in the house, that he says that he is loud, outgoing, and assertive.
Yes. He loved when Jen threw out Dick's cigarettes.
Yes, that was a good moment. Ironically, his dad was smoking Joe Frazier, but he liked it when Evil Dick was not smoking.
Yes.
Yeah. Taryn, he talks about a TikTok video that he was in that went viral. Is that the you don't get drunk from champagne?
I would assume so.
Not Brent Champagne.
Yeah, he said he wasn't even the one that posted it. He says, I do not believe the champagne will get you wasted.
Mm-hmm.
That's to him wasted.
Yeah,
champagne. It's funny. Assume.
Yeah, this is a good call from South Bay Engineer on Twitch. Can't wait for the down goes Frazier if he's eliminated. It's a famous Howard Cosell call. So we'll see. That'll be like the headline on all the internet sites if he gets eliminated. So he knows how to box also.
Well, I would hope so.
Hmm.
Right.
Yeah. They ask him, well, what would you take into the house and why? He says, my cologne, because it reminds me of home. Does his cologne remind him of home?
Interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like cologne
goes with you wherever you go.
Yeah. It reminds me of not being home.
Because
I don't really wear it when I'm at home.
Yeah.
Maybe he means home as in like hometown. Like
maybe
like,
everybody like, back home wears the same cologne. The smoky Joe Frazier cologne.
It's the signal of like
yes.
It's a group of guys walking by and they all smell the same. You're like, oh, it's that crew.
It's in Philly. So maybe there's one cologne from Philly that everybody wears. All right. Anything else on Derek Frazier?
Well, he is a fan of Derek. And Cody.
Mm-hmm.
And he can fall asleep sitting or standing.
Yeah. I think that's impressive.
It is impressive. I'm wondering, like, do you think that will help his chances of being able to sneakily nap?
Hmm. If he's napping on his feet. Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen that.
Do you think he means like standing up straight, like just nodding off, or is it like leaning against a wall? Kind of, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that might be good in an endurance different. Comp. Have you ever seen that where somebody is like stays up on the wall and is sleeping?
Exactly. Yeah, maybe he can just fall asleep on the wall and then he'll be fine.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe that's his shot to win the wall comp. So we'll see with Derek, who should be a fun addition. All right, you ready to talk about Frenchie?
Let's talk about Frenchie.
Okay. Brandon Frenchie French. Okay. Here he is. And I did not see this until just now. 34. Yes. I saw that. Oh, he's like the Donnie. He's the older guy in the cast. But he is much younger than I am.
Well, there you go. He is the second oldest person on the cast,
mm-hmm.
I believe. He is a father.
Yes.
And unfortunately lost his son. Has definitely been through some major tragedy. He says his only fear in life is his devil rooster.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't understand this because first of all, why would you own a devil rooster if it's called a devil rooster?
Mm-hmm.
Second, if it scares you, why would you keep it? I just don't know.
Maybe the devil rooster said, "If you do anything to me, I'll come after you."
Is it like that Twilight Zone episode with the doll, where he just keeps trying to get rid of it?
Let's not talk about that. I don't care. I don't care to talk about that. He's a farmer and he loves Big Brother.
Yeah. He's a big fan. His favorite duo from Big Brother history was Brittany Haynes and Rachel's hair extensions, which I thought was a clever answer to that question.
Good one. Good one. That he won the NFL National Punt Pass Kick competition.
Yeah, I don't really understand what that is.
It's like a football competition for kids. And that we have a 2-time Grand National Champion Show Bowl that lives better than most humans.
There
okay.
You
go. I don't know if I brag about that.
What does that mean? Better than most humans.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it probably makes people feel bad about themselves. Like some bull is being treated better than I am.
I guess so. I mean, I guess it's not really that hard to be treated better than most humans.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, Frenchie seems like he's a super fan.
Yes. He said, I don't know if this is true, or if this was just, another sort of gag, but, he said that Dan's funeral is one of his favorite moments of all time. And it happened to also be on his daughter's birthday.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So,
again, that may have just been incorporating two of his favorite moments.
I think I think he's being a little, cheeky with, some of his, Big Brother moments. So, yeah, we'll see. I do feel like that this person, especially like the farmer, like, sort of like in that Donnie role, I think that people will not assume that he is going to be a big fan coming in and potentially wanting to play very hard.
That's true. I think that he might, he seems like the kind of person that's going to be very open about his fandom, though.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get a lot of him about strategy. It was a lot about like his sort of quirky personality. I'm very curious to see what he is like in interviews.
Okay. All right. We'll see if we get that at some point in the next couple of days. All right. Taryn, let's talk about, all right. Here's Travis Long. Any relation to Scott Long?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I would assume not.
I feel like could be. Is he Travis Long? Is he Scott Long's son?
I don't know.
Okay. All right. Here's Travis Long. He is from Austin, Texas, and then currently lives in Honolulu, Hawaii, and is a tech sales consultant. Would you consult Travis before you bought any tech, Taryn?
Not necessarily.
Yeah. He doesn't seem like a guy I would consult with before I was buying any tech.
I mean, so, okay. Travis to me seems like the typical frat boy turn salesman who is like, yeah, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said his favorite duo is Brett and Winston.
Yeah.
He is a prank master. So
yeah,
can't wait.
Always
for
a crowd pleaser.
Yeah. He says that he's a published author.
Yes.
He has a book on sale on Amazon. So I did some research,
right,
Rob, because I'm very curious about, after The Circle season 2, I was like, I got to make sure I find these authors' books.
Yeah.
The book, the published author, the book that he wrote is called The Mysterious Pink Van, self-described as a children's novel about safety and caution in preventing child abduction.
Okay. Well, that's something noble.
Yes. Don't judge a book by its cover, but check out the cover. It's fine.
The cover is not great. I'm going to judge this book by the cover, and it looks like that he had like 30 seconds in MS Paint to make the cover.
Yeah. But, maybe a child made it, maybe it's one of those things.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Only one review so far on Amazon. Taryn, I expect that to change greatly in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, boy. Well, we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. His LinkedIn also is where I found that this was definitely written by him. very full of like these very salesy jobs and very full of that typical, if you've ever worked at a company with like a sales department and it's full of bros, like he sounds like he'd fit right in.
Yeah. So what do you think? This is like a week three boot for Travis?
Definitely possible.
Yeah.
Definitely possible. Yeah.
But that's always a fun moment in the season.
I mean, you know, you always do have that Brett upside, right?
Yeah.
Like Brett turned out pretty well.
Yeah. But you know, yeah. Much more likely is that he's the Jeremy Maguire.
Yeah.
Right? We'll see. All right. So what has he given us to talk about in his bio?
Let's see. He loves cinema.
Yes. Yes.
Which is important to note because there's somebody else that loves cinema on the cast. Kylan.
He's wicked obsessed with cinema.
Wicked obsessed with cinema.
Do you still say that, Taryn, now that you don't live in Massachusetts?
Well, see, that's what confused me because I don't often say wicked. I probably do occasionally, but I was like, he's from Texas, lives in Hawaii. Where is wicked coming from? And then he says he wicked obsessed with cinema and not just like movies or something.
That sounds fancy.
Yeah. It's like, it sounds like he's, I mean, I guess he's a salesman, right? He's trying to make it sound fancier.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So he has a wall full of sticky notes and quotes and nuggets of knowledge from friends and family of people that he's met in his room. Boy, I would love to get a screenshot of that.
There you go.
That'd be good.
I'm seeing in the chat that Wicked is a thing in Hawaii. There you go.
Okay. There you go. All right. Anything else? Did he mention anything about anything else he'd seen from past Big Brother seasons? Seems like he only watched Big Brother 20.
Yeah, I didn't get a lot from that. And he doesn't strike me as the kind of person that would have been much of a Big Brother fan.
Okay. All right. So there you go. There is Travis Long, that he is another person might not be long for the game. There you go. All right. Let's talk about Alyssa. Here's Alyssa, Taryn.
Alyssa, 24, from Florida.
Yeah.
Swimwear designer.
Okay.
She says that she has been a Big Brother fan since she was 11, which if you do the math, that means 13 years.
Okay.
So pretty good. That means what, she started with Big Brother 8 or 9 probably.
Okay. Sounds good so far.
Yes. I really did like a lot of what she had to say in terms of strategy. She says that she understands that the first HOH is very important. I think that for some fans of the show, they might still be in this era of, is winning the first HOH a good thing? I don't know. Maybe it's not good to win it. But I think that, you know, over the last few years, especially, we've really come to realize that no, winning the first HOH is massively important. And she understands that. She said she wants to use it to align with powerful players. And she also would love to have a separate final two outside of the initial big alliance, just so that she has full coverage of the house. I love that thought process. It's obviously an idealistic sort of pursuit, but having that in her head at all tells me that she is definitely not only somebody that's watched the show for a while, but somebody that has thought pretty critically about strategy. And so that excites me.
So we've done so many of these over the years. Like, have you ever looked back at like what players say going into the house versus what they actually do in the house?
Very rarely does it line up. But you do see that the people who talk, because like, okay, there are like a few different ways of going about it. There are the people that are like, I'm going to go in, I'm going to work my social game because I have an amazing social game and I'm going to make everyone love me. And then they usually go in and flop. There are people that go like, I'm going to go in and I'm going to play it like it's chess. I'm going to not put my emotions into it. And they go in and they flop. And then there are people that are like, I'm going to go in, I'm going to make this alliance, and I'm going to align with the jock, and I'm going to do this with the nerd. And they usually flop. And then there are people that have more detailed plans that clearly are influenced by actual analysis like Alyssa, and they go in and they sometimes still flop.
Yeah. I feel like the only time that we ever see it manifest itself is you see somebody say, I'm going in and I'm going to start the all guy alliance.
Yep. That's the thing. That's the thing is that, when they talk about something like that, it unfortunately,
it's a simple idea. Works. It's a simple idea as opposed to like all these other things that are sort of like, I'm going to take this person, see this person. Like, at least it's like, you know, like we never see another simple idea other than I'm going to start the all guys alliance.
You know, we see I'm going to start an all women's alliance, but mm-hmm. that, you know, as we know, unfortunately, does not often work out. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say in terms of like predetermined strategies, saying like Adam from Big Brother Canada 7 yeah. was the most successful in calling his shot, and pretty often it doesn't work out.
Okay, so all right, she's a big fan. I got to say. I like all that, but definitely losing some points about hearing about her dogs, Piper and Jeter. Anybody with a dog named Jeter, you're losing me. You're losing me. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's bad news.
Yeah, she wants DVDs of The Office.
Yes, The Office. Outside of Big Brother, that's her favorite show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Big fan of The Office.
Yes. And then also... she is going to miss her best friend. Everything sounds good. And then we also hear about that she's featured on a Hooters billboard and taxi top.
Oh, like the top of it, like the little triangle thing on top
yeah.
of the taxi?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
I mean, a billboard is cool. I was really confused about taxi top for a little bit there. But mm-hmm. I guess I'd want to be on a taxi top.
Yeah, what would it say? Because should we do that to promote the podcast? If anybody yeah. knows how to do that, if we could put like the Taryn taxi, like I think that'd be great. Like a picture of Taryn is like, I'll see you every morning.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that sounds a little creepy, but.
Yeah, but it's, you know, you're not going there in person. Need a ride to the live feeds?
I think that's the next goal, right? We need to have an RHAP billboard and taxi top.
Right. If we, what city should we get the taxi going around in?
I mean, we got to go for the cheapest, right? like I would imagine New York is like yes. top tier pricing.
If anybody could help us with that, with getting a taxi top advertising for the live feed updates, let's do it.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yes. She's a huge fan of Jess and Cody from Big Brother 19. Jessica is her all-time favorite player, she said.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that she could fit in that archetype.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
She also loved the Coup de Jeff.
Now, the one that was done to Jessica?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, that's why she liked it so much. All right. So we'll see. We'll see what Alyssa does this season and see if she can put some of that super fan knowledge to good use. Okay, let's talk about our next person here. We haven't talked about, Tiffany, who I believe is this season's oldest house guest.
Yes, from Detroit. She is a phlebotomist.
Yes, I believe the second phlebotomist in the CBS reality pantheon.
Oh, who's the first?
Leif Manson. Let me know if there's any other phlebotomists. It's such a fun word to say. I love to say phlebotomist.
I feel like I never hear it, you know? Mm-hmm. Nobody tells you like, okay, now you're going to head over to the phlebotomist.
Yeah, well, you know, they got to get your blood drawn.
This was one of the other bios that I just felt like did not offer me too much here. Mm-hmm.
I will say that, you know, Mr. Big Brother voiceover guy is going to probably do a lot of, Tiffany, the phlebotomist is out for blood.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Thank you. By the brook.
She has an alter ego.
Oh yes. Oh, that's exciting.
I don't know what it is. She just says that she has one.
Yeah. Okay. Is this like so an Austin Judas type situation?
Yeah, we might have a Judas situation going on.
Hmm.
Maybe the alter ego puts blood back in? Blood?
Yeah.
Right? I don't know.
Maybe. She does impersonations of her family and friends, so that's fun.
Yeah, that was like her fun facts about herself are that she loves horoscopes, loves cats, and does impersonations of her friends and family.
Yeah. Wait, is she a podcaster? Horoscopes, just, cats, and impersonations?
Those are like...
where do we sign her up?
Are those fun facts, or are those just like if she was on The Circle, I would think she was a catfish.
Hmm.
These are just the most generic things.
Yeah. Hmm.
I feel like The Circle has really made me more critical of bios.
Made you jaded. Yeah.
I just like, don't be generic. You gotta be, you know, very personal.
Okay.
Very specific.
Yeah. Do you think that she will fit in? She's going to have a birthday in the house. There was another house guest earlier that was going to have a birthday in the house. First off, do you think that having a birthday in the house helps you in any way, Taryn?
Kacer would tell you no.
No.
Yeah.
I feel like that my instinct is that I feel like it's a day that's all about you. Everybody has to sort of like, you get a lot of like attention that day.
It's not always a good thing.
Yeah.
I feel like what if other people get jealous?
Hmm.
You know?
Is Tiffany a mom?
I don't think she talked about having children.
She doesn't mention it. So do you think that being an older house guest but not having kids changes the dynamic? I guess she might be like the mom of the house, but she's not going to necessarily be somebody who's like treating the house guests like they are her children.
It's definitely possible. Here's my fear with Tiffany is that she says that she wants to learn as much as she can about everyone and keep her mouth shut.
She does say she has a son. I think the most difficult part will be being away from my son.
Okay. So she is a mom, but she says that she wants to learn as much as she can about everyone, keep her mouth shut. I'm a little bit concerned that she's just going to kind of be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now again, that's from going off of very little in her bio. She could come off in this interview like a rocket, and I'll be very excited to see her. But just a little bit of concern here, just from the bio, because the bio was pretty meh.
Okay, let's talk about Xavier. Okay, Xavier, one of the house guests, with a very different picture on CBS.com than he has here on this Us Weekly article. So here is Xavier in a suit from Kalamazoo, Michigan, that he's like in a Henley shirt in front of bushes on Us Weekly. So here he is. He's an attorney. I wonder if they asked him, could you get us a photo that shows you at work?
Yeah. I mean, good that he can easily transition, between these two different sort of like styles. Hopefully it's not just, in appearance, but also in personality. He loved Chilltown.
Yeah.
So obviously a longtime fan, and also knew enough about current events to say that he loved Chilltown and then in parentheses say rest in peace.
Ooh.
So he is up on the news, the Big Brother news. So he definitely knows what he's talking about. Also loves the Hitmen.
All right. Yeah.
As everyone does on this cast.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He is somebody who he wants a record player for vinyl records.
I mean, record players are nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That he is somebody who is not a fan of coffee. And he made it through law school without even so much as a single shot of espresso.
I mean, I can tell just from the way he talks about that this was a thing for him throughout law school. That
hey,
people gave him crap for
Xavier,
not drinking
some coffee. No, yeah. I hate coffee.
And he had to deal with the judgment of being a non-coffee drinker.
Among lawyers in law school. Yeah.
So I don't know. If I feel like, who was it that that drank a lot of coffee?
Was it Brittany, I believe.
If Brittany makes one joke about like, what? How can you not like
Wake
coffee?
Wake up and smell the coffee, Xavier.
That's ridiculous. I feel like that they're not going to get off. Genuinely, they could not get off on a good foot if that happens.
Yeah. Oh boy. Wait until Xavier hears that Shane Powers has 18 to 20 espresso shots a day.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Yes. So he's, again, obviously a big fan. He's excited about the experience of being there and doing all the things. He says two of his favorite moments in Big Brother history were Brittany's goodbye message to Mike Boogie and Danielle's impressions of her house guests in Big Brother 3.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great things to pick.
All right. Let's go to another house guest here. Let's go. Oh, how about Sarah?
Yeah. First thing that popped up for me, Sarah, 27 years old from Florida. She says she wants to float.
Okay.
It's like, okay. All right. Well, what do you mean by that? How much Big Brother do you know? Do you mean float as in the Rachel Riley float or float as in the June Song float?
Or just hang out by the pool.
Yeah, exactly. She says that she likes Frank and Bridget. She also liked Brittany and Ian. Those are the two.
I thought Frank
duos.
And Bridget, Taryn, was such a wild duo to come up with.
It's a very strange duo, especially because like Frank's bigger performance was Big Brother 14, and she chose a different duo from Big Brother 14. She didn't choose Frank and Boogie. Maybe she doesn't like Boogie. But it seems like she really wanted to get Frank in there and had to reach and pull Frank and Bridget. Frank also completely screwed Bridget over in that season. They weren't a very good duo.
Yeah. She loved everything Zach Rance did on BB 16.
Everything he did, yeah. See, this is my fear, is that like it seems like she's referencing Big Brother 14, Big Brother 16. Now, she did know Big Brother 18. I don't know if they would have shown those, but those are the two most commonly referenced seasons so far, and definitely says to me that maybe she doesn't have a lot of Big Brother knowledge, which makes me even more concerned when she says she wants to float.
Okay. Taryn, how about this? She says that she has a crippling phobia of moths and butterflies. I despise them, would kill them off if I could, regardless of the effects of the ecosystem. Not the first house guest with a fear of butterflies.
Hopefully, her and Polly can, you know, form some kind of support group after she gets off the show.
That's wild. And how about this, that she says, I would kill them off regardless of the effects on the ecosystem. I mean, that's very selfish.
It is, you know, it tells me that not only does she want to kill things, but she also knows that the impact to everyone else would be bad and wants to do it anyway. And that just to me screams terrible person.
Yes. She is a forensic chemist that she says she's never seen Dexter.
This is, again, clearly... she has been given crap about having never seen Dexter, and Breaking Bad, I think, was the other thing. And she's like, I've never seen them and I'm not going to see them, okay?
Yeah, she's not from Cranston, Connecticut.
Yeah. She's also big on cosplay.
Yeah.
Big cosplayer.
I could see her being a wacky character.
Yeah, I'm a little bit concerned about her fitting in here. She seems like leaning toward the nerdy side of an archetype. I don't think we have a lot of those types in here, which is not super unusual necessarily, but it's really going to, I'm going to have to wait until I see her interview for sure to see like what kind of social, you know, like is she good at just like being chill, or is she like chill, you know, going to be a little more introverted?
Yeah. Okay. you know, we'll see. I could see her being like a Bronte.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen that. Is she gonna? She's gonna reveal that she's like, I've got a secret. I'm actually.
I've actually never seen Breaking Bad. And Daddy Taran, with the correction, sorry, it was Cranston, Rhode Island, not Cranston, Connecticut. Sorry, I was going for the quick pull. Sorry about that. All right. Anything else on Sarah?
One good thing, or one good sign in terms of Big Brother knowledge to me was that she says that I think she said she was been told that the house guest has an ant problem, actually. Just like knowing that the house has an ant problem is, you know, that's
half the battle.
I guess it occasionally pops up on the episodes. But I think she said that she was told. So maybe she's just talked to somebody who knows the show before she went on. Yes. She said, I've heard the house is really cold and has an ant problem.
Tara, should they ever, I guess there were exterminators in BB15, but should they ever cast an exterminator on the show?
You know, maybe they should. Maybe they should cast, maybe that should be one of, like, look, we can leave the Texas A&M, you know, on the cutting room floor here. Yeah. Let's bring in an exterminator every season.
We have all summer long to work on this problem. Yeah. Okay. All right.
And their secret tasks are
get rid of the ants. Yeah. Eliminate all the ants. We'll give you an extra $5,000 this season. Okay. Let's talk about Christy from this season as I bring her up here. Christy is also from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, but is now living in North Hollywood, California, and is a professional dancer.
Yes. So that Philly connection to Derek Fraser, who had the boxer father. And then she lives, you know, in Hollywood, in that LA area, which is, you know, kind of where Kyland is. Well, when we talk about him, so those are a couple of connections.
I know she's it also well.
Yes, she's also a dancer, professional dancer. So another dancer here. So a few different connections that she can use to bond with people early on. I think those are good signs in general.
Okay. She is a vegan for 3.5 years, pescatarian for 10. If there are not a lot of other vegans in the house, I feel like this came up during Big Brother 22. There's a lot of talk about who eats what food is for whom, I feel like that this can be like a little bit of a source of friction.
It can be, it really depends on the people. Like if she's good about just like doing her own thing and other people aren't weirdly judgmental about her doing her own thing, then she should be fine. Mm-hmm. But it is definitely a potential place for like being alienated. Maybe something to look out for. Mm-hmm. She's my biggest concern about her. Again, we have a situation. She says that she loves Derek and Cody, as does everybody on the cast. But she particularly loves how loyal they were to each other. So not only does she love Derek and Cody, but she loves the part she loves the most was the sort of like Cody taking Derek to the end part. One of her favorite moments in Big Brother history was that she loves Haley from Big Brother's 20, and she really loved when Haley told Bailey that she was the hacker, even though it wasn't good for her game. She appreciated the loyalty of it. She again seems to me like somebody that will potentially want to go in there and just kind of be a loyal soldier and hang out with her buds.
Yeah. Okay. She has 11 piercings and 5 of them she did herself.
That's interesting. Do you think the first 6 were not done by herself and then she was like, I got this?
Or do you think that the first 5 like did not go well? She's like, yeah, you know, I got to go to a professional.
Maybe.
Maybe so every other one. She's like, one for me, one for them.
Yeah. So she has alopecia, which she was losing patches of hair when she I don't remember exactly when it started, but over the last few years or so. And so she eventually just shaved her head and embraced having the whole full bald hairless head. I believe she was on I don't know, some sort of swimsuit model thing. She was on a runway. She's really Sports Illustrated. That's what I'm going for.
Okay.
That is a very cool, like, she seems like a very interesting person. And she is, I think, doing something very important, which is, showing, lots of kids and people with alopecia that, like, hey, you don't need to be ashamed, which I think is really cool. Just a little bit concerned about her big brother play, but we'll see.
Yes. She also says that she plans to use her hair loss secret to her advantage. Okay. But yes. How?
I was a little bit confused about that. I assume she just means that she's going to share her story in a way that, and I think that, depending on how she does it, I think it's a very useful thing to do, that, like, it's a cool story. And if she shares it with somebody and it makes them respect her a little more and it's a way to, like, bond with somebody, I think that's great. I think it would be a little weird if people were like, asking about it and she was like, nah, it's a secret, mm-hmm. or something like that. It would be, I don't know exactly how she plans on handling it, but again, like, the way that she has sort of, like, operated in life about it, it seems like she's going to handle it mm-hmm. fine, and that she's just going to sort of, like, be proud about who she is. And that's going to sort of, I think that would draw people to her. So, yep. I think she has the potential to go very far, because I think she'll get in with people very quickly. They'll respect her, they'll like her, and she'll be loyal to a cause, and she'll get far.
She also wishes she could bring with her juicer an endless supply of celery, because she starts every single day with celery juice. Hope that if I was in the Big Brother house, nobody would start with, like, a big pot of celery juice for the house.
I've made all the celery, guys. Celery juice is ready.
I did the celery juice for the whole house, everybody.
Yeah, she runs around the house waking people up saying, all right, the celery juice is fresh. Get it while it's fresh.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if celery should be, like, the main part of the juice. I feel like you throw it in there, but it's a lot. All right, Taryn, let's talk about our next person coming up here. We haven't talked about Whitney Williams.
Whitney Williams. 30 years old from Portland. She is a mother. So she has that in common with Frenchie and with Tiffany,
mm-hmm.
That she's a parent.
Parent.
She loves showmances.
Okay. All right. Is she married?
I don't know.
Okay. All right. Maybe we'll find out if she is a single and ready to mingle. Okay.
Because like her favorite duos, and, like, to be fair, like, they did ask for duos, which kind of already points you to showmances, but she said Jeff and Jordan, Jess and Cody, Rachel and Brendan. Like, she loves these showmances, it seems.
Okay. Anything interesting stand out about Whitney?
She's definitely a fan of the show. She's excited to compete in some of her favorite competitions. I don't know how far back it goes necessarily, but she's definitely been watching the show. She yeah. loved watching Derek's game. She loved Dan's funeral. So she is also a fan of the, sort of, like, bigger strategic moments in the game as well. She also, she developed her own ice cream flavor.
Yeah.
White chocolate raspberry.
Didn't really reinvent the wheel with that one.
Yeah, it just seems like those are this is pretty basic. Common elements, right?
Pretty basic, yeah. Although white chocolate ice cream, I'll pass. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Taryn, do you think that Whitney will come into the house guns blazing?
It's hard to say. She says that her motto or whatever, it's why not?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably a good thing for us. You kind of want people in the house to be like, why not, rather than why should I? If that translates, I think that would be good. It's very difficult to tell without seeing an interview on this one. I like that she does know the show. Hey, she likes showmances, you know, like that doesn't mean that she's not going to be a good player or anything. So, we'll see.
Okay. She also tried to match up the Tooth Fairy and Santa Claus when she was seven, Mrs. Claus who, so she doesn't even care if somebody is in a committed relationship.
Well, see, yeah, that's the thing. She says she's an excellent matchmaker. I feel like that's a decent spot to be sometimes, is the person who is on the outside of a developing showmance.
Yes.
Who gets to sort of like be the cheerleader or the coach that's just like, yes, go for it. You two are great together. Because then those two people are now feeling very good about the person who is helping sort of encourage them and make them feel good about the fact that they're together, and they're a bigger shield in front of them and their numbers. It's a good place to be in general.
Yeah. Okay. And maybe, you know, the Tooth Fairy could meet Santa Claus like in the house, and then maybe like after the game is over, maybe Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus are going to split up and Santa Claus ends up with the Tooth Fairy. It's a great Christmas story, Taryn.
It is. Why, Rob, why has this not been made as a movie?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anything else on Whitney? She can wiggle her nose like a bunny.
Yes. And honestly, when I read that, I was like, yes, I can see it. I literally can. I see her face right now. I can see her doing it.
I can see it.
Yeah.
See it. Might get annoying. Yeah. Because they're going to put like the little sound effect of like,
yeah.
Like some little like little triangle noise.
I feel like that could be like if she became like a very popular player, like an underdog, and she got like put up on the block and she did like the little nose wiggle in response, I feel like people would lose their minds. They'd love it.
Okay. All right. Let's see what we get with Whitney. Named after Whitney Houston.
There you go.
Okay. All right.
She can't sing, though.
She can't sing. All right. Let's talk about other Derek. Derek X.
Mm.
The X Factor. Okay. I guess that's Xavier, probably, is the X Factor. All right. Derek X.
Yes. 24 years old. A lot of connections on this one. Again, he's hometown from, he's from Baltimore. So he has that connection to Azza. And he currently lives in New York, so he has that connection to Britney. He took hip hop dance classes in New York. That's a fun fact that he took dance classes. But hey, he's took hip hop dance classes. That's another dance connection.
Yeah.
And he also just spent a month in Hawaii. So he has a lot of quick conversation starters that I'm intrigued to see here in terms of, you know, being able to make conversation early on.
How about this, Taryn? He was stung by a jellyfish in Thailand and then was later forced to eat the jellyfish. It sounds like that he was made to do this against his will.
Yeah, it was. It's a very strange. Like, this is an interesting fact, right? Because it makes me want to ask more questions about it. That's a fun fact. Stung by a jellyfish, later forced to eat the jellyfish. Why was he forced? Who forced him? You know,
I don't know. Is there some sort of idea that the pain goes away if you eat the creature that stung you?
It must be right. It must be some kind of like.
It must have the anti-venom inside of it.
Like by eating it, you have conquered, like you have, you know, like you've, I don't know, shown it who's boss or something.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, but why would he have been forced?
I don't know.
Maybe when he means by forced is like he was encouraged, and that you know, because like forced really implies to me that like people were holding him down and they were like eat. so I don't know.
Yeah, he is an entrepreneur. He has a company that ships meal kits by food influencers across the U.S. I had to read that twice because I thought it was meal kits by influencers. I'm like, I don't think I want to necessarily eat what an influencer is telling me to eat.
But they're food influencers, so that's their whole job is to tell you what to eat.
Yes, I guess so.
I mean,
it's going to tell you to eat a jellyfish, maybe.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a clever idea, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll work, but definitely interesting. He seems like an entrepreneurial kind of guy. He is a big fan of Will and Boogie. Hopefully his, his business aspirations turn out better.
Than some of the restaurants they invested in?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
He wants to layer in unassailable logical reasoning to influence people's decisions, which is a very concerning sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Like nothing makes me want to be influenced by somebody more than them saying, "Here are some unassailable logical reasons why you should do it."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe not going to be the best selling point for the alliance. I think he should stick to cooking. I think that's a way to win everybody over.
Yeah.
His
motto is, if you laugh at yourself first, then everyone else is just laughing with you.
Hmm. Okay.
Which I think that's fair, but I also think that you can go too far. And if you laugh at yourself too much, then you don't have enough backbone.
Like, nobody will take you seriously, like a jellyfish. Yeah.
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 Exactly.
Yes. All right. Look, if you're not down with DX, you can suck it.
Or eat it.
Yeah, or eat it. Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else on Derek X?
I think that's it.
Okay. All right. Taryn, let's talk about... Oh, here is Kylan.
Kylan.
Here he is. Kylan.
Yes. 30 years old from Venice Beach.
Yeah.
He's a movie buff.
Yeah.
So he's got that cinema connection to Travis.
He said he goes to 4 movies a month. I didn't know why he didn't just say, I see a movie every week.
Yeah, that's a better way of saying it.
I see approximately 52 movies a year.
Yeah. He's seen every Best Picture film in the past 2 decades.
Yeah, so has Melissa Denny. So what?
Yeah.
Watched every nominee also.
Yeah, does Melissa go around saying, "I'm a movie buff"? That's my most interesting fact? No.
No, she says, "I'm on a Big Brother podcast." That's my most interesting fact.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
This guy sounds interesting. I'm very intrigued because he's kind of all over the place here. He says that one of his catchphrases or mottos is that being realistic is the most commonly traveled route to mediocrity.
Hmm.
So he wants to be unrealistic.
Yeah. I thought he had one of the longer bios of anybody answering these questions.
Yes.
Very wordy.
Paragraphs in response to every question, and that was my biggest concern for Kylan, is that he may be a bit of an oversharer.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think one of the questions was what's going to be, you know, the most difficult part for you, and he gave like his whole history of his life.
Mm-hmm.
What will be the most difficult part, and this is some touching stuff, but he talked about his family. He's like, "I'm close to my family. I lost my grandfather this January. My grandmother is in good health. Also, my closest of 4 sisters is more than 3 hours from my mom. My sisters are all living in different states."
Yeah, what is this? His newsletter?
Yeah, and it's just like, okay, I mean, I get it, but a little bit like, if that's the level of detail that you go into in these getting to know each other conversations, it's not going to make a great first impression.
Mm-hmm. Okay. big movie buff, loves Black Panther, has a T'Challa necklace.
Yep. He says he likes to go to Comic-Con and pretend to be a cop to skip the line, because the one place, I don't understand, I guess because you're cosplaying at Comic-Con, you can cosplay as a cop.
Well, I don't think that seems like that he hacked the system here.
He said it's the one place it's not illegal to impersonate a cop.
Yeah, so I guess that you go to Comic-Con and you dress up like police and then say, all right, let me in. And then you cut the line? Like, that seems like a loophole. When they get back from COVID, they better look into that.
I don't get how that works. Like, sorry, official police business. I've got to step in front of you in this line. And now I'm going to, like, play this video game or like sit on this like ride or whatever.
Melissa, who was not impressed already with Kylan's movies, said that also it definitely still is an issue to pretend to be a cop.
Yeah, Melissa's been trash talking his movie watching ability in the chat.
She's
like all the best picture. That's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's nothing.
Yeah. So Kylan is not a lawyer, so I'm not sure who is advising him on that you can pretend to be a police officer at Comic-Con.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he uses a fake police badge. So I guess he's not even fully dressed up as a police
officer. Maybe he doesn't say he's a police officer, but he just walks around in a police uniform and then they just like don't stop him at the doors. And then he just walks in. I never said I was a police officer.
Yeah.
I'm dressed as the T-1000.
Yeah. That holds up, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm cosplaying as a T-1000.
I feel like him and Sarah might get along. They have this sort of Comic-Con cosplay-ish, potential connection there. So that's something. He likes to think that he's a Jedi.
Yes. Okay. Like Howie.
Yes. He did not say Howie was one of his favorite players, though. He said that he wants that Dan's funeral was great. He likes Cody and Jessica. He wants to play like Derek, Cody, and Dan. He also loved Frankie's solo Battle of the Block win.
Okay.
So he knows the show.
Yeah. I think he could do very well, Kylan.
And here's what I did like. He talked about like how much it excited him, the idea of playing a game like this where your social ability and your strategic ability is gamified, and he's like it excites me that I'm going to be ranked based on my gameplay. And I'm glad that he said that, because that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, do it every week. Okay, and there's no cutting the line in Stockwatch. Okay,
yeah, you're not going to trick me with any badges.
Okay, who else do we have? Oh, that was it. We went through the whole cast, Aaron.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. Seems like a fun group.
Yeah. I'm optimistic. You know, I feel like I usually am with these casts, but it's definitely, I mean, this is, I guess something that we haven't pointed out yet, but this is the first ever Big Brother cast that is not Robin Cass. Excluding Big Brother Over the Top.
Sure.
But you know,
going back to even the first one,
I think she may have started in season two.
Yeah.
But again, Big Brother, does Big Brother one count? Like,
not really.
At least in the last 20 years, right? It's been at least 20 years since we've gotten a proper season of Big Brother that has been cast by somebody other than Robin Cass. So this has the potential to introduce some new elements. Like, we'll see how this cast functions again. I think that we are looking at something that is a little bit more leaning toward people who know the show a little bit better. It's obviously leaning toward a much more diverse cast than we have seen in the past from Big Brother US casting. I'm definitely optimistic about this cast. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing some of these interviews. Usually what happens is you read the bios and then you watch the interviews, and many of the people that you thought you would like, you don't. And many of the people you thought you wouldn't like, you do. And so we'll see.
Okay. On any other twists, was there anything else that we didn't mention? Double or nothing offer for HOH?
I mean, it sounds very vague to me, all of it. Like how is it all going to work exactly? I'm not sure. So, it's a lot of this, like, they really wanted to hammer home that they want to avoid big alliances, mm-hmm. and that they want to present players with these like risk reward scenarios.
Yeah.
You know, what exactly that will mean, I think we'll have to wait and see.
We'll see. I mean, get the cast right. We'll figure out the rest from there. Let me tell you a little bit about what we have coming up, because we're very excited for this season of Big Brother on the podcast. Of course, we will be live after the first episode on Wednesday night. We'll have our Big Brother draft on Monday night, and then Taryn will be back on Thursday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, for the daily live feed update. Those will all be posted in our Big Brother podcast feed at robinswebsite.com/BB podcast. Of course, then we will have our episode recaps. No word yet on the exit interviews, but if we get them, those will be posted on Friday morning. And we'll have LFC roundtable coming up on Tuesday night for the RHAP roundtable and Stockwatch show coming up on Tuesday nights. Taryn, that's going to be what, at 8 or 9 Eastern?
One of those.
TBD. Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I'm very excited about, for the first time, that we are going to be creating some exclusive content for the Big Brother season for the Rob Has a Podcast patrons. Not one, but two podcasts that we're doing exclusively for the Big Brother fans, who are the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. On Monday nights, I will be doing The Slop, and that is going to be a patron exclusive this year. Thought there was a couple of reasons for that. One, I want to thank all the patrons who make all of this Big Brother podcasting possible and give them something a little bit extra, but also think that that might be a best for everybody involved. Of you know, sometimes we can have a little bit more fun when we don't have just all of the random traffic coming through, talking about everything that's going on in this game. Talk about all of the nonsense that's going on with the Big Brother alumni. So The Slop will be back, coming live on Monday nights, around 6 p.m. Eastern time. That's going to be a patron exclusive. And then for the very first time, we're going to, Taryn and I are going to collaborate on a listener feedback show on Fridays. That time is going to be TBD, but we will get together for a live call-in show where the patrons can call in and ask questions about the week to come. And that's going to be on Friday evenings. I'm very excited about that, Taryn.
Yes, you can ask me all kinds of Big Brother related questions, like what my time in Sequester was like.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So it's a great time to become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. We are going to be having so much content coming your way every single week of the Big Brother season. It's the first day of a brand new month and a great time to become a patron. You get access to all of the brand new shows at the $5 level over at robhasawebsite.com/patron. And I really am very excited about everything we have coming your way for the Big Brother season, Taryn. No reason not to be excited at this point.
No, I don't think so. And I'm very excited about you know, the potential for this season. There's a lot of, you know, new directions. Again, you know, we'll always see, you know, where we end up with it. But it's always a blast to be able to hang out all summer long with you guys and everyone that listens. And we really appreciate it when you guys become patrons and, you know, join the crew.
Yeah, and I also want to add
support what we.
Yes, well said. And I also want to add also as well, then at the $10 level, you get access to the Rob Has a Podcast patron Discord, where we have lots of Big Brother chatting going on all the time, especially when things are really buzzing on the Big Brother live feeds. And then, of course, we have a Big Brother patron only Facebook group also as well. So you get access to the community features at the $10 level over at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Also, lots of great stuff up at robhasawebsite.com as well, including our coverage of the 14th best season of Survivor. Last night, I talked with Mary Kwiatkowski and AJ Norris about the great Survivor Blood versus Water, Taryn.
Ooh, oh, that's one of my favorites.
It's a good one. Good,
great ending.
Yeah. Great ending. Really fun podcast last night. So be sure to check that out. I will be having a patron feedback show as well for Blood versus Water coming up on Friday. Taryn, what's coming up for you?
Continuing to try to, rebuild my life.
I get it, Taryn.
A lot of people are like Taryn, you should make a video like Dan did. But like, first of all, I didn't intentionally try to make people think I was in sequester. And second, I genuinely don't have time. I'm just, I'm trying to get my life together here. I still have no furniture. I've got, a laptop on, a pile of boxes right now that I'm podcasting off of. And Rob is in a closet. So,
yes. Look, Taryn, I, nobody else can relate to what you're going through like I can.
Yeah. So probably not a lot in the immediate future, but of course I will be back on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, once I'm capable of streaming properly. We're going to have the draft coming up and the season starting. So whether or not I have everything set up, the podcast will go on. They might be from a laptop for a little while.
Yeah. And here, if you're watching us live on YouTube or Twitch, be sure to follow or subscribe and to keep notified on when we have all of our live content coming your way. Taryn, so excited to be back for Big Brother season.
Yes, very excited. It's the best time of the Big Brother season.
It's all hopes and like, wow, excitement. Cut to 3 weeks from now, like, same, nothing ever happens. grumble, 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 grumble.
Enjoy it while it lasts, guys.
Yeah, and we're having so much fun now. All right, thank you so much for joining us here today. We'll see you all summer long. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance, and it's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.